Alrighty, well, here we are again talking about coaching. I'm Yannick. I'm here with Siva and Nikki. Hey, guys.
Hey.
I love that. Just the second of leg. Today's question is about, we haven't decided yet how we call the question. It's not something that you guys sent us in. But it's something that emerged as a conversation I did for another podcast, the Coaching and Cage podcast by the Animas guys, Animas Center for Coaching. And I talked to Tawana Burrows, who's the founder of the Coach Diversity Institute. And obviously, amongst other things, we talked about diversity, but there was a different angle in that. Because it dawned on me that we talked about the importance of working with diverse clients, right? With clients who are different, from us and clients who are different from each other. I mean, we're all different. We're all unique. But it dawned on me that the act of niching, which is something that a lot of coaches, especially in the beginning when they build their business and they look out what's in the business space and marketing experts, most people will tell you, no, you must niche. Right? You must know exactly who you're talking to. And it's really helpful. We have an episode on this. When we're speaking first, when we're building a website, when we're thinking about what content to put on our social media or what blogs to write, it's helpful to know who we're talking to. But I found that all who like them approach them. You know, and if you look at your clientele, and I encourage you to pause this and have a little think on, who are my clients at the moment? If you reflect on the clients that you're currently working with right at this point, who's an active client of yours? And just kind of take a snapshot and see what kind of people are they? Maybe what they look like, but also maybe how they are like, right? Diversity goes well beyond what people look like. Many coaches will notice that they attract clients who are similar to them. And I've learned so much from my agency work where they didn't really know much about me. They picked me because of the topic or maybe because of, you know, something that they wanted or maybe because of my approach. But I've got to work with so many clients who are radically different from me in different parts of the world. They think differently, you know, maybe I'm relatively cognitive, right? I've learned to kind of put my emotional side on. But like if I work with somebody who's super somatic, for example, just really embodied, that's a place I need to intentionally go. You know, that's a place I intentionally invite. Whenever I work with somebody who kind of disrupts my normal way of thinking, then I get a lot of value from it. So both with me as a coach and as the client, I really benefit from someone who's different. And that's what I wanted to bring this kind of topic, because it dawned on me that the act of niching leads to less diversity, which leads to we can learn a lot more. Like we're robbing ourselves from a lot of learning. And I think clients can also really benefit from working with somebody who's different to them. So yeah, niching versus diversity. That's why this question came up. And I'm sure we'll find a decent title when we get this out there. So what do you think? What do you think as you hear me kind of put that stuff on the table?
Well, one thing that came to my mind straight away is kind of, you know, one of the things that I most love about being able to coach online is the fact that it's location independent, and that therefore it is possible for me, for any of us, to coach with people who are not in the same location, who maybe are in a completely different cultural setting, who've grown up in a completely different way to me, all of those things. I think that's one of the most rewarding for me personally, when I talk about why I love coaching, that's one of the first things that comes to my mind. I also agree with your point that, you know, I have noticed in my clients, yeah, you do tend to attract people who somehow are similar to you in one way or another, and obviously maybe think about the same things about you and things as you. And coming back to what you were saying, I can imagine that with that niching element, it can become more easy to be as challenging, because to some extent, not that you get stuck in a rut, but I think it becomes so familiar that you almost go in with more of a sense of already knowing maybe the answers or what they need or this or that. Whilst if you're challenged or confronted with a situation or someone's way of thinking that's radically different and completely new to you, I think that kind of forces you to keep on your toes and kind of keep that beginner's mindset and, you know, that sense of seeing things for the first time without any preconceptions or anything like that. So I totally think all of those arguments are valid and interesting again to think about more.
It's interesting because as I'm listening, different things are coming up for me, because initially I thought, hey, you know what? You're right. So it's really useful to play with different niches. But what I realized actually in my practice, so the last 3-4 years, most of my niche has been business coaching. But actually within that, broke with people with so many different types of belief systems, different personalities, right? Different, you know, just completely different human beings. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, within the niche, you can find plenty of that as well.
Oh, yeah.
And again, I don't think right or wrong, but again, it probably depends also like what you say, like most of the time we do attract people like ourselves, right? And I think it's just, it's being open to work with different people. Sometimes that can happen within the same niche, right? And it's being open maybe to, work people with people that are very different.
Oh, 100%. And we have a good episode on niching, and niching doesn't necessarily mean a demographic, right? We also talked about niching could be the approach that you use, or to help, like helping people, what people are trying to avoid or what they desire. So if you're a coach who's working with, I don't know, helping people to reduce stress, then yes, what they all have in common is they're stressed. But that does not mean that they're the same. They could be from vast cultural and psychological backgrounds and really could be one different, or even though that what they have in common is that they're stressed. So that's not the discussion, right? Because there's a lot of diversity within different niches. That's totally, totally right. I wonder, you know, I think that's why referrals are so important. I noticed that when I get clients through referrals, that is not really an issue for me at all. Not that it's generally an issue, because I like to have a quite diverse group of people anyway. That's how I set up my business from the very beginning, which didn't help me as I was building my business. It's not helpful to, you know, not niche or to look for very diverse clients, because it's going to make marketing in its traditional sense a lot more challenging, right? Because you're not as clear as other people in terms of, you know, who you're talking to. But you can talk to a particular experience, you know, and that will still keep the clients quite diverse. But when it comes to referrals, that's not a thing, right? Because people recommend you for the results that they got or the experience that they had, or they just regard you as a quality coach that is worth recommending to someone that they have a conversation with. So that really helps. So with time and more referrals, that's going to matter less and less. I think it matters much more to the coaches who have a marketing machine going, right? Who have thought a lot about putting stuff out there so that it resonates with people, and that on that basis, they reach out to you. So that's something to consider. If you're a coach who has something set up, have a little look at that, you know, maybe reflect on who's coming through. Maybe you're absolutely happy working with a very specific kind of person. I think you're missing out on some learning, but that's okay. Not everybody has to like learn all the time, everything as much as possible. You know, we don't need to optimize and maximize everything, at least in my opinion. But I think it's good to be aware of, right? If you feel like you've been feeling a bit stuck in your practice, or maybe even it got a bit boring, or, you know, there's some spark that is missing that you've had when you started your coaching journey, then often that's something to be curious about.
I think that variety is good, and it helps you. I think it opens you up, it gets you uncomfortable, opens you up to growth. I think one of the things that I wrote down is like noticing your own patterns. If you always work with very specific type of people, sometimes just mix it up. Work with someone that's very different. Works with someone that has a very different belief system or that has a very different worldview. And again, you know, it might be uncomfortable, it might not even work out, but it's this exploring that I think can be very useful.
Mm-hmm. Nikki, anything else from your end?
I'm just thinking, I mean, you know, things that are coming up for me, they're not like, I don't think they contribute much. It's more my own thinking happening. But, you know, I was almost thinking, in a sense, as a coach, I was kind of going into more like, maybe like karmic philosophy and things like that. It's kind of almost like, in principle, both of you would gain the most by choosing someone who's really opposite to you. Like, so almost like, that challenge could be the most rewarding for both of you. But like I said, that's a bit kind of, a broad.
Yeah, it's really nice what that triggers. Thank you so much for bringing that in, because that was part of the conversation that I've had with Tawana as well, is that in some ways it's really helpful of what we already mentioned to work with somebody who's really different, but also it can be triggering in really unhelpful ways, mm-hmm. right? So if I work with someone who's just so on the other end of the spectrum, right? Sometimes I really just need to think about something. And if somebody asks me where that is located in my body and describe the experience and, you know, ask me how I feel about it, I might be like, well, that's not helpful right now because I just need to go through my process. And some problems need resolving at the cognitive level. And some problems we really, really need to check in with your emotions. Other problems, you really need to go into your body. And yes, ideally, all of these are connected. I mean, they're all connected, but ideally, you would check into all of these areas. But if somebody disrupts me too early or too heavy, you know, then it's just, I feel disconnected from this person. So then a really good conversation becomes, well, like NLP coaches, for example, they would match the client first, right? They would speak their language. They would adjust their mannerisms, their body language, their tonality, the terminology, the vocabulary they're using to the client in order to create rapport, you know? And then they would start opening things up. Once you have that kind of relationship and that kind of trust and you created that kind of space, that makes sense on many levels, you know? There's questions around authenticity that we have discussed here and ethics potentially, but like that's besides the point. The point here for this one is, well, too much difference can be disruptive in a non-helpful way because the client's not going to open up to you or value what you're offering yet. So if you're constantly feeling triggered by your coach, maybe that's not the best coach you can be working with. But there's not a global right or wrong here, right? There's just different approaches. And I think that's why these chemistry sessions and consultations and initial conversations are so important to see how this is working out. I would just encourage every client that considers coaching. If you have a difficult experience with a coach at first, don't just dismiss it and look for somebody who's more similar, where you're vibing and gelling better. Because if you're too aligned with your coach or with your client, then you're missing out on some progress. Because I do believe that, you know, good learning synthesis, the thesis often needs an antithesis. Right? Being challenged, having somebody disagree with you. This is where often new learning comes from. And I had a few clients where I just liked them way too much. You know, I just loved everything that they're doing. And I found it difficult to challenge them. And that one of them I'm thinking about now, she actually stopped because she said it wasn't challenging enough. And I said, yeah, I think it's better you work with someone else because I find it really hard to challenge you. I love everything that you do. That's not really helpful. You know, once you're beyond that, yeah.
Yeah, I totally hear that. I was just thinking, yeah, indifference, you know, it can be complementary, which is the ideal, or it can be clashing, which can sometimes not be ideal.
Clashing can sometimes be ideal.
It can be, yeah.
And complementary can sometimes be in the way, right?
Yeah, you're just saying, yeah, totally.
Exactly. Yeah. Great. Guys, Thank you. We need to wrap up here. I really appreciate your time. I think this is 53. So still happy that we're around and that we're still having great conversations that hopefully inspire more conversations out there. So I appreciate your being here with me, month in, month out. Go well. And if anybody out there is having thoughts on this, do share them, right? Not even if you don't share them with us, share them with other people. This is meant to spark conversations that we're talking about coaching, right? This is going to help everybody. So appreciate you. See you next time.
Thank you for being with us today. I appreciate your commitment to learning and growing as a coach. Just a few things before you go. First of all, we're doing this for you, so if there's anything you'd like us to talk about, do send us a question. Secondly, we're not doing this for profit, so we rely on your support to help us reach as many coaches as we can. So if you can send this episode to a friend or tell a fellow coach about what we're doing here, maybe you can subscribe or leave us a review or even support us on Patreon. That would be amazing. And lastly, you can find us across all major platforms. So whether you like to watch or you like to listen or you like to download episodes and listen to it in your car while you're driving through somewhere with no internet, you can do so too. And that's it from us. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.